Since 1987, an award emphasizing the importance of a global food supply that is both sustainable and nutritious is given away in Des Moines, Iowa. This major prize in agriculture was the brainchild of Dr. Norman Borlaug. The father of the Green Revolution had the vision that plays out in the House chamber of the Iowa State Capitol each October. Doctors Lawrence Haddad and David Nabarro provided global leadership in elevating maternal and child undernutrition within the food security system. Here are the entire remarks made by the 2018 World Food Prize winners.
Governor, Ambassador Quinn, John Ruan, ladies and gentlemen, this really is a wonderful moment for me. It's a brilliant recognition of the efforts of thousands of people with whom I worked. And just to say, I'm really grateful, Hadover Berg, for you coming here, and also for the wonderful message from Amina Mohammed. Big surprise. I hope that everybody who's been involved in this enormous effort to get nutrition to the place where it really should be, and we've still got quite a long way to go, but I hope that they all feel pride in this moment. And I do know that there are many people who've come from all over the world to share it with us. And as you saw in the film, I started out as a medical doctor. I was specializing in the health of children and populations, and I was actually working for Save the Children in, first of all, northern Iraq and then in Nepal, when I realized the crucial importance of nutrition in determining whether or not children who are sick get well. And in early research that I was doing, I saw very clearly that a child who is malnourished is much more likely to suffer and unfortunately to die as a result of a mild illness compared with a child who's well nourished. And I also learned how stunting, this shortness of stature that we talk about so much, actually leads to terrible consequences, lifelong consequences that last through childhood into adulthood. And I quickly saw in my medical work that agriculture and food are absolutely critical and have a really powerful link to whether or not children are well nourished. And that led to activities that would try to bring together people working on health, people working on agriculture, people working on education, people working on women's affairs, to create a new way of looking at malnutrition, seeing it as a truly multi-sectoral activity. Throughout my life, I've always worked on behalf of people whose lives are less comfortable than mine. I'm committed to helping them and their children have sustainable, peaceful and prosperous futures, not just in the current generation and in generations to come. Now, in doing this work, I'm truly fortunate. I've been guided by many of the people in more than 50 countries where I've worked, some who are in this room. I feel I'm constantly learning, picking up ideas, synthesizing them and sharing them. And I'm saying this because within this scale-up nutrition movement that I was able to help start under the support of Ban Ki-moon, who used to be the Secretary General of the United Nations, within that movement, which I'm still involved in, we involve people from within communities and countries in finding their own solutions. Our role is one of being catalyst or facilitator. We enable those who have little power to find it, to harness it, and to use it well. We engage governments, businesses, civil society, and scientists. Then we enlarge the circle so that farmers, consumers, and parents can be part of the effort because we encourage stakeholders to work together, partnering, sharing ambition, debating what needs to be done and to work it out. I do encourage everybody in this room and beyond to continue to put more emphasis on nutrition as key to the development of humanity, key to the emergence of communities from suffering, key to the empowerment of populations to have the intellectual and physical capacity that they need for the future. And I say to everybody, do this by encouraging partnership and collaboration. Whenever you're in doubt, bring people together, communicate, motivate, agitate, captivate, measure. Make sure that everybody is working for the justice that comes with good nutrition. Recognize that sometimes you'll feel uncomfortable. Recognize that sometimes things won't go well. Find mentors who will support you in the way that we've been hearing about today. And follow the advice of Dr. Borlaug. Take it to the people. Reach for the stars. But most importantly, engage the politicians, because they, in the end, will be the people who would be determining the nutritional state of the future of our world. Thank you.
Governor, Ambassador, Mr. Rowan, the Borlaug family, thank you so much. Distinguished guests, I would like to thank the Council of Advisors for selecting David Nabarro and me as this year's World Food Prize laureates. It means so much to so many of us that this community has recognized transformative power of nutrition. So, the speech. My first attempt at writing this speech reminded me of the UK civil servant who retired to write poetry but ended up writing poems that sounded like ministerial briefings. And my first speech sounded very much like a policy brief. I don't think you need to hear that, because this is a very special night tonight. So I ditched that one and decided to get out of my comfort zone, as David and I are always telling other people to do, and share with you some things that I rarely acknowledge to others, and perhaps even not even to myself. So, firstly, I was brought up by a warrior mother. She fought like a tiger for me and my sister. When we no longer had a father, she became both parents. When we had no money for new clothes, she got us good secondhand clothes. When it looked like I couldn't get into a good state school, she made sure I did. And that is the power of mothers. Thank you, Mom. I was born in Africa and raised in England, and I'm very proud of my African roots, but I was lucky to be brought up in a country like the UK with its powerful welfare system. A small family qualified for a council flat. I got free school meals, free prescription glasses, and free university education. And that is the power of the state. So let me tell you about my uncle. He was the first in our family to go to university. He worked at a very small flavoring company. And as a teenager, I would get regaled with stories of some of the things the food industry was doing in the 1970s. Freeze-dried coffee, instant mashed potato, ravioli in a can. If you can make ravioli in a can taste okay, you can do anything. And that's the power of business. My mother worked, as the video said, and I didn't know there was a Save the Children connection with David, so I'm very happy about that. My mother worked as a volunteer in a Save the Children store in London, and she had no childcare, so she brought me along. And while helping out, I talked to the staff, and I was really inspired by their sense of purpose, their conviction that they would make a difference. And that is the power of civil society. So by age 18, I had powerful examples of the roles mothers, governments, civil society, and businesses play in shaping destiny. But one in three people on this planet are denied a say in shaping their destiny because they are malnourished. That is outrageous, it is unacceptable, and it cannot be tolerated. So all of these different actors have to come together to end malnutrition. David has been a brilliant leader in doing this. They have to come together because the things that converge to generate malnutrition are powerful. Not enough food, not enough water, not enough sanitation, not enough healthcare, not enough time to take care of kids. And they must be vanquished by even more powerful alliances drawn from all corners of society. But even that's not enough. These coalitions, alliances, and movements need a spark. They need a spark to catalyze the outrage. And it was when I went to work in the Philippines and India as a young man that the fire was lit for me. The shock of seeing the skin of babies impossibly stretched over those bones. The shock of hearing about farmer suicides because of the despair of failed harvests. The shock of seeing girls deprived of food that is routinely given to their brothers. The shock of seeing a mother who is trying desperately to care for a child with constant diarrhea. This was visceral. Only experienced, as Dr. Borlaug would say, by going to the farmer and the farming communities. This is when I realized that malnutrition was about injustice, and it radicalized me. Since then, I've been a monomaniac on a mission. Some people would say egomaniac, but let's not dwell on that. Generating evidence on how to end malnutrition. How to end malnutrition, learning about how change really happens. David's been a brilliant mentor for that. Working with countless others to become part of the change process. And many of you in the house tonight are sisters and brothers in arms. And I honor you for your generosity of spirit, time, and commitment. Working together, I believe with all my being, we can consign malnutrition to the history books, and sooner than we think. So I've only been able to do this work because of my incredible family. My deepest thanks and love go to my wife, Frederique, and to my children, Savannah and Raphael. They have made many sacrifices for my work. They've put up with many absences, and when present, a certain level of grumpiness, distraction, and absent-mindedness. It's hard to believe, isn't it? And despite all of this, they have provided me with unending amounts of inspiration, support, encouragement, and love. That's the power of family, and that's the power of love. Thank you, everybody.
You can watch the entire Laureate ceremony on iptv.org. This is the MTOM, a production of Iowa Public Television.